You remember on the old Ed Sullivan show, if you've seen it on YouTube, how they're spinning plates. They got like a guy spinning seven plates in here. That's kind of what I'm doing right now. I've been here since 4:45, but we're good. Everything's fine. We're finished now. We're ready to go with Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. How you doing, Jeff?
I am doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
I think I'll calm down a little bit. Tell me about those Tigers. What can we look for on Saturday?
Well, I mean, this is obviously, it seems like we've been talking about this game for a long time now, Tommy. It's because we have. Obviously, a lot of hype going into this game. Two top 10 teams. There's three top 10 matchups in the opening weekend of college football. Based on what everything I've read, it's like the first time that's ever happened.
So tell me what they are, Jeff, because it is a big weekend. And I want to talk about the Tigers, but I do want to talk about the whole thing. Tell me
who's playing. Saturday really gets off to a great start with Ohio State and Texas in Columbus, Ohio. I mean, 1-2 in the coaches' poll, 1-3 in the AP poll. And then on Sunday night, LSU, we're a little bit accustomed to them playing on Sunday night. They've done it here the last few years, but this year it's going to be Miami and Notre Dame. That's a top 10 matchup there. Those two teams will be playing on Sunday night. So, just a big matchup here. I mean, I think when you look at it from LSU's perspective, so much has been put into this game. There's just so much of an effort to finally go 1-0 to win their first game of the season for the first time since 2019. Garrett Nussmeyer ready to go. LSU pretty much completely healthy going into this season. So, from Clemson's point of view, I mean, it's a big game for them as well. That they're expected to win the ACC this year. But, you know, last year they didn't perform very well out of conference. They got beat really bad in the season opener against Georgia. They lost in their rival game against South Carolina. They also had a bad loss at home against Louisville, and then when they got into the college football playoff, Texas was able to handle them. So I think they're trying to show that that they are truly one of the top teams in the country.
Let me phrase it this way. At what point is this the kind of game where, you know, you have just a slight chance of beating the team, and if you don't take advantage of every opportunity, it's over? Or is it the type of game where, okay, mistakes happen on both sides of the field, if you understand what I'm trying to ask you?
Well, when you look at the last few season openers here for LSU during this stretch of games losing, especially during the Brian Kelly era, you go back to that USC game last year. In particular, there were just a couple of short yardage situations that they were not able to convert. There were some bad penalties in the game. You go back to the first Brian Kelly game in the Superdome against Florida State. Really some bad miscues on special teams, muff punts, unable to provide protection on kicks. Things that you can't afford to have happen. It was just and even 2 years ago when they lost to Florida State in Orlando, LSU had some opportunities inside the red zone. They weren't able to put some points up on the board, and then the game just completely got away from them in the second half. It is one of those games, considering how I think both teams are as talented as they are, it's going to be one of those games where a few plays really does decide it, and whether you execute those plays or the ball bounces your way, I think it really does come down to that kind of a game. I think both offenses, I could see both offenses struggling a bit at times because LSU's offensive line is inexperienced. I think LSU's defense has improved from a year ago, and I think they can give this Clemson offense some fits. I think LSU's much better in the defensive secondary, especially at the safety position, and you got Harold Perkins where you think you're playing him at the right position and the defensive line is better. I think they can cause some problems for Clemson. And to me, it's going to come down to, you know, who's ever able to really make the big play, especially in the fourth quarter, to win it. Because I think you're going to see some big plays. I don't know if you're going to see much of the 8, 9, 10 play drive where you're scoring touchdowns off of that. I can really see, especially as good as these two teams have as far as wide receivers go, I can see big, you know, 60-yard, 40-yard, you know, touchdown pass plays happening in this game.
So are we looking at a track meet?
I don't know. I mean, I believe the over-under is 53. And I think it's going to be a little bit lower than that. I think this is going to be a game played in the 20s. I think you look at it at 53 because you have two really good quarterbacks, two quarterbacks that are early Heisman candidates, returning quarterbacks with really good wide receivers. And so I think there's this feeling that it could be a shootout. But I think LSU's defense is improved. And I think it can give Clemson some fits in this game. I think they got the right players to slow down the RPO game that Clemson has offensively. I still think Clemson is going to have their moments offensively. But I think LSU's defense can do a good enough job to slow them down and that allowing LSU's offense to score enough points to possibly win this game.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Jeff Falermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director, got us a story up at WWL.com about Garrett Nussmeier ready to spread it around this year. We'll drill down on that when we come back. 620 traffic, WWL. 6:24 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. It's going to be a big weekend of college football, getting you ready for the NFL kickoff the week after. You got Texas playing Ohio State on Fox at noon, I think it is, noon kickoff? 11 a.m. Then you got Alabama playing Florida State. That's the opening act for LSU Clemson. And then Sunday night, you got Notre Dame playing Miami. So, Jeff, this is going to be a big weekend.
Big, big weekend. And this is what I like. I love the fact that, you know, college football, I know there's a lot of people that are saying, hey, I wish LSU would open up against Louisiana Tech or Southeastern Louisiana instead of playing these big games. But as someone that covers the team, as someone that's a fan of the sport, it seems like you wait for an eternity for college football season to start. So let's just jump right into it. Let's start seeing some of these the big time teams play each other. And with the college football playoff, we all know now that you can afford to lose a couple games and still get in.
It's happened 3 years in a row, right? I'm trying to think. It was Florida State twice and then USC. Brian Kelly lost the openers?
Yes.
So how important is it that Brian Kelly win this big opener? I think it's very important.
Well, they're putting a lot into it. I mean, they've had T-shirts that say 1-0. There's Clemson Tiger paw prints around the building. When you're in the team room, usually it shows the entire schedule, but instead this year it just shows the Clemson game. Brian Kelly has put his chips into the middle of the table saying, we have to win this game. They are putting more importance on this game. There's no talk about, hey, it's just another game. It's just another opponent. They really feel like they need to win this game. And I think there's a couple main reasons why. One, their SEC schedule is brutal. And we were just talking about it. You can lose two games and get into the college football playoff. But if you lose this game against Clemson, that really then means you can only lose one game in the SEC. If you lose two, that might knock you out. 9-3 might not be good enough to get into the college football playoff. We'll have to see how it all transpires as the season goes along. So to go through this SEC schedule and only have one loss is going to be very difficult. And I think the other thing is that Brian Kelly wants is the momentum and how this can springboard them to having a really great season. Not only does it give the players confidence, but I think the fan base, it gives a jolt to the fan base. And Brian Kelly has been here now for, as you mentioned, this is his fourth season, and he has seen it. He's felt it. He's experienced it, that you lose that first game and everybody's down on the team saying, Brian Kelly is overpaid. He's not a good coach. And it takes a while for the kind of the momentum to finally build back up again. And I think what they want to see this year is you win that first game, and that just gives you a shot of adrenaline and confidence and momentum for you to then have a really good season and then eventually get into that college football playoff.
So you're all in and you're feeling pretty good with your full house. Then the other guy flips over four deuces and you lose. What happens? I'm just saying, how do you know, you're all in. You put the chips in the middle of the table now. How does Brian Kelly and the LSU Tigers recover if they lose? Because you bet.
Well, I would imagine in the back of Brian Kelly's mind, he has
Plan B.
He'll have a message for his team if they do lose this game, and he'll have a message for the fan base. But when you put so much stock into the first game of 12, and if you don't win it, that's the danger there. Of then, how do you then try to get the team to quickly change focus and say, okay, yeah, we put so much into that game, we lost, but we still have the entire season in front of us. So,
and I guess a lot
I'm
of
sure
it, Jeff.
Brian Kelly's thought about that. I'm sure he's got a plan for that, but it is the danger of putting so much into this game. I mean, Clemson is taking the usual path towards the season opener. Hey, it's a big game. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to playing LSU. If we lose this game, we'll move on. Here for LSU, they're building this thing up like it's almost, the SEC championship game is being played this Saturday.
And I guess it depends on how you lose too, right? If you play them tight and then you get beat on a Hail Mary at the end of the game, that's different than if you just get manhandled.
Well, I think one of the reasons why Brian Kelly's putting so much emphasis on this game, and we talked about it at the beginning of the interview, Tommy, is the fact that a lot of these games that they've lost in the season opener have come down to a few plays, mm-hmm. and it's been details that they have not been able to execute. And I think he wants the focus turned up much more on this game, which is why they've put so much more emphasis on it.
Hope it works. Thank you, Jeff Palermo. We didn't get the Garrett Nussmeier spreading the ball around, but that's why you need to go to WWL.com and read Jeff's article. We'll talk to Mike Strain when we come back right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. At the risk of being called crazy, which has never stopped me before, yesterday had a little hint of fall in it. Did you notice that?
The last 2 days, actually, have had a little hint of fall. That breeze, drier air. I thought I was back in the Northeast for a moment.
Yesterday was a little cooler, I think, than the day before. Now Peyton's saying, what, for 86 for high on Labor Day?
Yeah, we're going to have a little rain come through over the weekend, tomorrow, Saturday. Then Sunday should be dry. Monday should be around 86 degrees with that low humidity. And as we get into next week, then we start to see things get back to normal.
Maybe it'll be an early fall, I hope, and a quiet hurricane season. 6:40, 20 till 7. Quick break. Then we'll talk to Mike Strain about a lot of different things. We always learn some when Mike Strain is on. Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. He'll join us when we come back on WWL. 6:45, quarter till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Thursday morning. That's when we join Mike Strain, Commissioner of the Department of Agriculture and Forestry, to learn some stuff, as we always do. Dr. Mike Strain, a respected and loved veterinarian on the North Shore. How you doing, Mike?
Man, I'm doing great. How are you, Tommy?
Yeah, we had a little problem the other day. Grady had a little stomach trouble in the house, but I think it was the wallpaper he ate off the wall that didn't agree with him.
Yeah. Grady's been having a great time. They love to eat things they're not supposed to have, right?
Well in his defense, yeah. The wallpaper does need to go.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. Well, maybe he thought it was extra tasty, you know. And that's what I tell Hootie. I said, look, you got plenty of dog food. You got plenty of treats. Why you got to go eat a stick, right?
Yeah. I see. Door.
But,
or molding.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
yes. Well, I gave a cousin a Rottweiler puppy one time, and he had a Mercury Cougar. That Mercury Cougar had a rubber bumper on the front. Next morning he gets up. The Rottweiler has pulled the rubber bumper off the car and is playing with it as a chew toy.
It sounds like, what is it, Cujo, huh?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Mike, let's talk about...
The puppy was happy.
Yeah, I bet he was.
Really happy.
I think the owner of the car was happy.
Yeah, no. He's a puppy, you know. He'll get better. I said, yeah, or he'll have to start pulling on a bigger car, right?
Yeah, you have to get a truck. We're going to need a bigger car. Tell me about Roseland, Mike. What's going on?
A lot of things going on there. You know, we've been working with, you know, all the different agencies, the EPA, the DEQ, Department of Health and Hospitals, you know, Roseland, also all with emergency operations. Everyone's working together. And so, as you know, there was a fire and explosion on Friday. And then during the height of the fire, a rainstorm, a thunderstorm, real strong storm, started. And
Mike, I want to ask you about that, if I might interrupt for a second. That really was the worst timing ever for a rainstorm, was it not?
Absolutely worst time. And if you look at the rainstorm, you know, it blew wind and rain through, you know, the smoke column. And the smoke column was burning up everything, you know, pretty intensely. And then what it did, it blew ash. It put water and a rain column through the smoke, which then caused oil and soot to fall out in the rain.
What's
so you
the word
had
I'm thinking
almost
of?
Like a black rain.
Aerolicized, is that the word or not?
What's that?
Aerolicized?
In Roseland?
No, aerolicized that made it like a mist almost, like it made an aerosol?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. But it was enough like raindrops, and that's what you see on the vehicles in the media area. Plus, with the rainstorm, the amount of oil or soot that was on a particular spot really depended on how much rain you had at that spot and for how long. And so when you look at what we're dealing with, it's not like saying you draw a 3-mile line around the plant. You have to follow the rain pattern where it pushed it down. Now, we've done a significant amount of testing on the soot and on the oil. And so DEQ, EPA has come out with a statement, and they basically said, you know, just out of abundance of caution, take general good hygiene precautions. And I recommend if you're gonna wash your house, you know, wear a mask or wait till it rains, then wash your house. If you're gonna cut your grass, if there's lots of soot on it, wear a mask. The determination has been made on the soot and the oil that the levels are not high enough that if you use good precautions, it should not be a problem. Now, besides that, you know, we have put out additional guidance working with the EPA, and I was, you know, on the phone, you know, really working on further guidance yesterday and the day before with Scott Mason in Region 6. And the bottom line is if you're in that area and if you have any fruits or vegetables, if you have any visible contamination, discard it. It's common sense. Make sure all water sources for pets and livestock have been cleaned and are free of ash. Provide fresh water for all animals. If you have livestock on fields, if you have obvious visible ash on the grass, try to take them off of that and then feed them hay or supplement. And really, in a couple of weeks, that should not be a problem. We wish we had a rainstorm now to wash it off. And the bottom line is use good common sense, do a good risk assessment. And we're going to be looking at, you know, if you can't take the livestock off, if you cannot take your livestock off in this heavily contaminated field, in other words, if there's a lot of soot right now and oil, watch to see if any of them get sick. They get sick, call your local veterinarian. If you're, you know, if your pets or any animal has obvious oil on it, wash them. You can wash them with Dawn or an appropriate animal shampoo. So just good common sense. But you could see the oil, and I traveled all through the area intensively all day Saturday and all up, you know, even up until Wilmer and other areas. And it's where the rain moved the smoke plume. But they're getting it all cleaned up. And, of course, it got into the Tangipahoa River, and that is being working on that as well. This is the beginning of our work with all of this. And so we just want to make sure that everybody stays safe and just use good common sense. And when you look at the oil and ash, a lot of testing's been done. And, of course, according to the EPA, the levels of the contaminants in the oil and the soot, if we use good common sense, use proper guidance, you know, and not do something silly, we should be okay. And that's where we're at now. We do have the ability. There were some heavy metals that were found, you know, in the soot and in that oily residue. We do have the ability to test for it. That is being tested for, but the levels are low. And so that is a good thing. That is a very good thing. And I really believe if we hadn't had that big thunderstorm, you would not have seen any soot or oil outside of the immediate area. And so now, you know, as this thing's getting cleaned up, you know, our concerns now, is, of course, is to that immediate region and into the water and the tributaries and the Tangipahoa River.
Mike, is it as simple as drawing a circle around Raceland, a radius, or is it not that shaped? It's differently shaped.
No, it's not. It's not. And so, and the area is Roseland. Not
What I Raceland's, say?
You said Raceland.
No. Roseland.
And Roseland.
Like
it is not.
South to Amite City, north to Fluker. No. What would you say?
So, no, you know, most of it would be towards north and the east, and that's the direction. So what we have to do is we are actually getting maps from the National Weather Service to see the wind direction during the rain. Mm. That's how we're having to do it. And it's not. So there's different levels of oily rain and soot. In the northeast, actually, it went north by east more than it went south. Very little went south. I mean, very little. It was the wind direction and the rain with the wind and that thunderstorm that did this. So it's a whole different pattern. And as you know, with a thunderstorm, it's not like a slow, continuous rain. The thunderstorm is fast. It's rather intense. And it can be rain on one side of the street and not the other. And so that's how we're looking at, you know, the affected areas.
Hi, Mike. Tell me about, real quick, how the agriculture in the state changed after Katrina, if you can.
Oh, my goodness. If you look at Strain Farms, for instance, and everything, you know, we farmed, we were farming about 7,000 acres below New Orleans in an area, you know, known as citrus farms. And so, you know, where there used to be 20 or 30,000 head of cattle down there, now, today, there's probably less than 2,000 or less. It markedly changed that, and it also changed to where, you know, we used to have the marshes on the other side of the levees, and now, you know, we just have water. So it changed everything. If you look at the citrus, we lost a tremendous amount of citrus, you know, from the flooding and the salt water, and it really changed all the diameters and all the parameters for agriculture, especially from the I-10-12 corridor south. And it, you know, we lost a lot of livestock. And but again, you know, we're much more cognizant of the storms, but it really changed the landscape. St. Bernard Parish, a lot of agriculture, especially livestock, was lost and has not come back there. And here we are 20 years later.
Thank you, Mike. Pleasure as always. God bless the people around Roseland. And I know you'll be on top of that and watching, keeping everybody safe. Mike Strang, Commissioner, Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, 655, 5 till 7, traffic now, WWL.